Page 6. Spring 2009 CCB Convention Report by Susan Childer. I have always enjoyed the meetings and activities of my local CCB chapter, the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, but attending the state convention as delegate helped me better appreciate how SVCB fits into the overall CCB and ACB structure, and how much all blind Californians owe to CCB for its advocacy efforts on our behalf. Two central strands of activity occur at the state convention: activity that focuses on CCB as a consumer advocacy organization and activity addressing the business of CCB itself and its ongoing existence. These activity strands occur in a variety of venues, including four general sessions, open to the membership at large, special interest affiliate meetings, special committee meetings such as publications, resolutions, and nominating, a meeting on technology updates, open to all, a public meeting of the CCB board, a president's dinner, and a culminating banquet, again open to the entire membership. The general sessions tend to combine the two strands of activity, so I'll report on those first. Recent national disasters such as hurricanes in Texas and Louisiana have made the blind community aware of our need for equal treatment during disasters by local, state, and federal emergency agencies. This need for equal treatment is shared by all people with disabilities. Accordingly, the guest speaker who opened the first general session of the convention was Mr. Richard Devilder, who is Special Advisor to California's Office for Access and Functional Needs, California Emergency Management Agency, or CALEMA. The Office for Access and Functional Needs was established in January of 2008, and its current mission includes the following goals. 1. Development of a community network. Page 7. 2. Integration of disabled and older adults into the state emergency functions. 3. Improvement of access by disabled people to early alert broadcast systems. 4. Increase planning for sheltering people with disabilities and older adults. 5. Increased efficiency of evacuation procedures. Mr. Devilder and his office staff are immediately concerned about transportation, communications, fire and rescue, care and shelter, evacuation, public information, utilities, and long-term recovery, in terms of how each of these affects people with disabilities. He stressed the point that the overriding goal of the Office for Access and Functional Needs is to make sure that all state shelters will adequately serve people with disabilities. California must not create separate shelters for people with disabilities, since doing so amounts to separate but equal treatment, or, he said, to call it by its true name, segregation. Nor, he said, should the state shuttle blind and disabled people off to nursing homes and hospitals during disasters. Blind Californians who want to participate in creating a truly equitable emergency safety system can begin by accessing the following website, www.oes.ca.gov. Once on the site, click on the Office for Access and Functional Needs link. During the convention's third general session, attendees heard some inspiring ideas regarding how to grow and sustain chapter memberships, as well as how to strengthen the power of local chapters as advocates for blind people. These ideas were presented by three CCB members, Linda Burrell, Foster Brown, and John Ross, who attended the Western Leadership Conference called Taking the Reins of Leadership, which convened in Vancouver, Washington last October. Each shared valuable information gleaned from the conference on the topics of fundraising, publicity/outreach and mentorship. Page 8. With regard to fundraising, conference attendees learned how to develop an annual fundraising plan and to distinguish between fundraising and fund development. Here are a few ideas that stuck with this listener. First, fundraising is for one-time events and occurrences, while fund development should be considered an ongoing process. Second, giving is an emotional act. People give money as a means of community service and for relationships. Third, information is everything. People will want to know what you and your organization are about before they give. It's important to make friends and advocates of those who donate to your organization. The number one reason why people don't give is that they aren't asked. Tips for successful asking: do your homework. Know who your donors are. Relate your mission to your donor's interest. In terms of outreach and public awareness, Burrell, Brown, and Ross offered this advice. Reach out to those who are newly blind and those who are losing their sight. Let the public know who your chapter is and what specific services you provide to the community. Leave information about your chapter with eye doctors, as they may refer patients to you. Speak about your chapter and CCB at local elementary and secondary schools as well as at colleges. Set up a technology show at a local university. In terms of mentorship, the most important thing that I learned from the three leadership conference speakers was to attend to what gets chapter members excited and then invite them to participate in activities that let them act on their excitement. It's also important to delegate, and when we give a fellow member responsibility for a project, we need to let him/her handle that project in the way that's best for him or her, which might not necessarily be the way we would handle the project. In other words, we need to trust our fellow, page 9, chapter members, to do a good job. Anyone interested in adaptive technology advancements would have enjoyed the gathering that took place on Thursday afternoon, before the convention actually got underway. It was sponsored by the Technology Committee and featured John Glass speaking about the new Bookshare, its upgraded website, new convenient access, and new books being added to the collection. His presentation was warmly received. We also heard from Peter Cantasani of R&L Associates regarding a number of new and available cell phone technologies. We learned about iPal Solo, a new standalone reading machine from ABC. The iPal Solo measures 8.5 by 11 inches at its base and weighs about 5 pounds. It is a camera-based, as opposed to scanner-based reading technology. One simply places printed material on the round base of the machine directly below a camera which aims downward toward the print. The camera takes a picture of the printed image, and seconds later, a synthesized voice reads the print aloud. We tested the iPal Solo on books, multi-column brochures, candy wrappers, and aspirin bottles. It read them all with scarcely a glitch. Since the iPal has no moving parts, it's less likely than a scanner-based reading machine to break down or have mechanical malfunction. The iPal can fit into a 15-inch laptop bag. It does cost a pretty penny, however, currently retailing at $1,995. The final technology presenter was James McCarthy from Freedom Vision. He shared a number of pocket magnifier products for those of us with enough vision to read print. The most interesting of these was Mono, so named because it's small enough to fit in the palm of one's hand. Manufactured in Germany, Mono has a 3.5-inch screen and weighs 4.8 ounces. It can freeze up to 3 images simultaneously, and it has the largest range of zoom capability of any pocket. Page 10. Magnifier. For the benefit of new CCB members, and for those of us who might appreciate the review, I would at this juncture like to remark on CCB affiliates, who they are, and what they do. CCB has 8 statewide affiliates: the Association for Multicultural Concerns, Blind Students of California, the Braille Revival League of California, Council of Citizens with Low Vision, California Library Users Guide, Dog Users of California, Orientation Center for the Blind, and the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. Each of these special interest affiliates is allowed to vote when issues come before the CCB general membership. During the convention, each affiliate conducts its own business meeting and its own special program of events. It was impossible for me to attend every meeting, but I had fun trying. As a dog guide handler, I enjoyed attending the Guide Dog Users of California luncheon, during which representatives from several guide dog schools updated us on their programs. San Rafael's Guide Dogs for the Blind, for instance, now employs two Spanish-speaking instructors, which is wonderful given the growth of Latino populations within California. Additionally, GDB now uses career change dogs as ambassadors when visiting prospective clients for the first time. Guiding Eyes for the Blind is placing some of its career change dogs as companions for children with autism. Guide Dogs of the Desert recently graduated a class of 7 veterans. This latter school specializes in working with special needs students. In other affiliate news, I was especially moved by a project being sponsored by the Association for Multicultural Concerns. This affiliate is raising money to buy Braille writers, which will then be sent to blind people in developing countries. I look forward to learning more about this affiliate's activities on the national level when I attend the ACT convention this July. Page 11. I'd like to close this article with a quick gloss of two of the resolutions that were voted on during the convention's fourth and final general session. One resolution concerned a push by some Department of Rehabilitation offices to begin meeting clients in cubicles instead of private offices. CCB passed a resolution urging that rehab not take the step on the grounds that much information exchanged between clients and their rehab counselors is private, and not something one would care to have overheard in adjacent cubicles. Another resolution that passed and will be forwarded to ACB urges national parks to continue doing everything possible to make museums, trails, exhibits, park videos, and park campsites accessible to people who are blind or visually impaired. My hat is definitely off to the members of the resolutions committee who work long into the night during conventions to see that the desires of the membership come to fruition. The fall 2009 CCB convention will take place in Fresno, California, and the spring 2010 convention will happen in Burlingame and will be hosted by the San Mateo chapter. If you are interested in meeting new blind friends, sustaining ties with friends you've already made, learning about issues that affect you as a blind person, and participating in shaping the future of California's blind community, then by all means attend the next convention.